Yes.
A question from one of your first disciples. Mm-hmm. I have heard your Shastric talks for the decades, and they are deep and very meaningful. I find it helps to control and to make my mind in a good state of being. I take the time and carefully learn unique verses that you select for our Radha Krishna consciousness. Is it okay to learn verse weekly, or is it a disservice?
Learn it
weekly to
weekly
to learn
or
verse
quickly?
Weekly.
Weekly, like one a week, once a week.
Yeah, one per week. Or is it a disservice to you or any other guru if none of you did ask us to study Vedic verses?
One of Krishna's names is Uttama Sloka. And Sukadev Goswami, by way of introducing himself to Parikshit Maharaj and all the assembled sages and devotees there, Parinishitopi Naragunye Uttama Sloka Lilaya Rihita Cheta Rajarse Akyanam Yadiditavan. There again is that Uttama Sloka. He's saying himself, I was situated in the Nirguna plane, and we know he's legendary, liberated within the womb of his mother. Not that he came out, was a conditioned soul, and then took some path to liberation. He was already a liberated soul in the Nirguna plane, above the Saguna world, Trigunatita. And he saying, I heard the Uttama Shloka. What are the, we can say there are many slokas. Uttama generally means the best, the highest. So Uttama Shloka really must be about Krishna and Krishna conception and its most substantial expression. So there's a hint there in a sense, because we know that Sukadeva Goswami, in Guru Maharaj's words, becomes the loudspeaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. As we think, why will he speak these things? It could be somebody else. There's so many great devotees. Why someone who is most widely known at that point as a, we can say, as a Brahmavadi. Up to this point, he's not widely known as a devotee of Krishna. He's a so-called Brahmavadi, which we distinguish from Mayavadi, like Brahman realized, Nirgun. And so, as given in the Bhagavatam, and it's not anecdotal or peripheral, but the description of when Sukadeva Goswami is leaving home, and Vedavyasa is chasing after him, his, you know, teenage son. And the bathing in a pond nearby are described as Dibya Devis. But just for the sake of this point, we can understand, there are these beautiful, young, beautiful women bathing totally naked in this pond. When Sukadev goes by the pond, they don't bother to cover themselves. When Vedavyas comes, we're told when he's like, oh, my son. Oh, and in separation, The trees are echoing like, oh my son, oh my son, oh my son, oh my son, oh my son. So he's very filled with lamentation, viruha. But he is asking those Dibya Devis, why, now you're covering yourself out of shyness, but when the boy went by, you didn't bother to cover yourselves. And they're saying, because we did not detect even a trace amount of male gaze in him. Which means that, what it implied, the male gaze, looking at females with the eyes of exploitation. So they're saying, we didn't even see a trace amount of that in his eyes, nothing. There was no, like, as like with a child, it's not necessary, right? And even in those cultures and ancient customs, the little boys, they can be around the women up to a certain point. But they're saying, we saw nothing in him of the sort. And I think, to me, the humorous part, or implied humor, is that they're covering themselves for Veda Vyas. I mean, he's Veda Vyas. Right? He, only as a duty, did he procreate. As I've mentioned, when Krishna Kshetra Swami, so we're in Romania preaching in the 70s, and there was a Hindi teacher there. And because Sanskrit and Devanagari, you know, Hindi, it's very similar. So he's teaching Hindi, we got to order like 40 Bhagavad Gitas as it is for his class. And he was using that as the text. You know, and we would stay with him sometimes. And he showed us how to make paratha. We would cook together. But he saw we were brahmacharis at the time, and he was a grihastha. But he wanted us to know that he is not anything less than a brahmachari. We'd heard from Prabhupada the so-called grihastha brahmachari. So, you know, maybe we were very young, we had some attitude. You know, so you want to know, like, I'm in the club too, kind of. Maybe more so, actually. But in our discussion at one point, he said, as his wife and family were back in India, he said, I have three children and I've never seen my wife naked. There was like a silence in the room. We're like, what do you say to that? He said, I have three children and I've never seen my wife naked. So, and that was in 1970. And I'm accepting what he's saying is true. In other words, out of a sense of duty, he's a dutiful husband, he produced children. As part of his grihastha dharma. There are such people, were such people, so what to speak of before? But in this case, I just find it mildly humorous that they're covering themselves before Veda Vyas, the great Veda Vyas. Of course, whether or not they know he's the great Veda Vyas, I don't know. But they're saying, in the eyes of Sukadeva Goswami, not a trace amount of exploiting tendency to be found there, no male gaze. And that's why this is significant, where it occurs in the Bhagavatam. It is to certify that Sukadeva. So when he's elevated to the presidential seat, to, by all those sages, as Gurudev would sometimes say, with big, long beard, you know, they're, like we see, the real long beard. Because maybe they didn't shave for 500 years. Real long beard. And they've come, some of them come, you know, from other parts of the universe. They're representing all the different schools of thought. And Vedavyasa and Narada are in the audience as well. But when they see Sukadeva Goswami, this naked 16-year-old boy, and the beauty of him, his face, his color, his waist, there's a beautiful description there, and that Gurudev knew it by heart. He would sometimes recite it. Very beautiful poetic language is used to describe how beautiful Sukadeva Goswami looked. Besides being understood, perceived as being advanced on the highest, you know, Mahapurush, Mahapurushika, still very beautiful at the same time. And they offer him the presidential seat. And by way of introduction, he says, Parinishtitopi Nayagunye Uttama Shloka Lilaya Grihita Cheta Rajar Se Akyanam Yadaditavan. He was deep in the Nirguna plane. Sometimes Guru Maharaj said he, during that period when he went off, sometimes Guru Maharaj said he learned Karma Yoga from Janaka Maharaj, different things. But Vyas taught these like tribal hunter-gatherer types this some sloka, right? And thinking like, if they're wandering, if Sukadeva will hear this, it will, like, what? Like a GPS or something like that, a signal. It'll give him direction where to go. And that slogan was, Nivritta Tarshaya Upagiya Manad Bhavoshadat Shrotra Manobiramat Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanuvadat. Now there's some other line. Jayananda?
No.
Okay. Nivritta Bhavoshadat. Anyway, it's saying that the Tarsh means here thirst. It's similar, like thirst, almost in spelling and sound. Saying the thirst that we have for, you know, as we say, you know, beauty, charm, sweet, sensuous activity. Saying that when applied towards the mundane, it's not satisfying. The thirst is not quenched. Saying, but for those who are parched in this world, bhavoshadach shrotra manobiramat, the hearing about Krishna through these uttama shloka, these beautiful slokas describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Braja Gopis, and all of Krishna consciousness, saying it's the medicine to cure, to quench that thirst. And normally, we know medicine, almost to the degree that it's good for you, is distasteful. And they always give you something really horrible, and you go, oh, what's that? They go, it's good for you. Bitter. Medicine's notoriously bitter. Right? That's why something has to be forced down somebody's throat. They're like resisting that. But here it says, this medicine is that is administered through hearing. Like there's one medicine you put in the mouth. This medicine you put in the ear, in the hearing channel. You hear, and what is it? Mano abhiram. It's like beautiful. The mind finds it very beautiful and pleasing. So saying, how nice is that? The medicine is something that will enliven you, make you happy, your mind filled with beauty. That's what brought Sukadeva Goswami, and then he's saying, hearing these Uttama Shlokas, Radha and Krishna, Braja Gopis, and their divine pastimes, the sweetest pastimes, the Madhura Rasa pastimes, he's saying, it captured me wholesale, heart, soul, everything. I was captured and taken to a world that I didn't know existed previously. So the slokas, they are Krishna, actually. And they're, he's like mystically, Krishna conception is mystically encrypted therein. And we see that in terms of learning them, that really, there always has to be, we take the mantra from the guru, right? We don't go and sift through things, sort through things, and extract from there according to our own whim. But really, what we get from our guru Varga, because we can say, well, the whole Bhagavatam is there. I mean, would there be any harm to learning any part of it? Not really, but what has been passed down by our guru Varga, that deserves special attention. Right? If there are certain slokas that were dear to Saraswati Thakur, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Swami Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj, then we can understand they're significant. Because we're like, which ones should you learn? Those are the ones to be learned. That's one approach. But even then, I find you may want or think you want to learn some particular sloka, but if it hasn't been sanctioned, you won't get it. Somehow it just won't. If you're not approaching in a mood of service, not that, oh, this will serve me and I'll look good, but rather something within that is appealing, that we think, I want to serve this through memorization and recitation. Not to use it for my purpose, but to be used for its purpose. Srila Guru Maharaj will say that, like the scriptures, whether we see something in a book form or now digital media, so that is a passive representation. It's actually spiritually conscious substance. It's not only spiritually conscious substance, that means person. I would say Veda Stuti, the personified Vedas. When we hear the Acharya's commentaries, Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, when the personified Vedas are speaking, 87th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there some of them, he says, are they're very eager to express that. They can't wait to express something for the other slokas to finish. Because they think what they have to express, maybe it's something more or superior or sweeter or that hasn't been clearly indicated before. It's sweet, it's all, they're waiting, like they can't control themselves, contain themselves. They want to express. They want to be expressed. So Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, the scriptures, they want to be expressed. It's Amnaya Prahat Tatvam Harimiha Paramam Sarva Shakti Rasabhi. Omni, descending truth in this plane. They're looking for an agent of distribution. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, when the custom in Gaudiya Math, when you have pot, that means like recitation, the daily, you know, a reading from the scriptures, the first thing to do is some flower or garland offered to the book, whether it's Bhagavatam, Charitamritam, Gita, whatever, and submitting who's going to lead that class, offering a prayer of offering themselves as an instrument of expression for what is there. So he's saying they're passively appearing as a book or now digital media, he's saying, but really spiritual conscious substance there, wanting to be expressed. And when we hear Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami with reference to Chaitanya Charitamritam, or Sanatana Goswami Prabhu with reference to his works, or many great devotees, he's saying, I'm not writing this. Saying, it's not me. He explains, like today is the disappearance day of Srila Lochan Das Thakur. We know most famously he wrote this song, Parama Karuna, Pahudvijana, Nitai Gora Chanda, beautiful song about Nitai, Nityananda Prabhu, and Gora Chandra, Mahaprabhu. But he also wrote the Chaitanya Mangal, as we have Chaitanya Bhagwat from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Really, his book was called Chaitanya Mangal first. But then Lochan Das, he wrote this Chaitanya Mangal later. And to distinguish them, then they began referring to Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal as Chaitanya Bhagwat. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami repeatedly is praising Vrindavan Das Thakur and saying he is perfect, he's the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela, whatever he's expressed is fine, perfect. Saying, but they're fearing that his book would become too large or there may be some sections that he did not describe, then I will give something, some expression to that. And there he goes to all these devotees asking their permission, the Haridas Pandit, the head devotee at the Govindaji Mandir, Madan Mohan, different places. And that Haridas Pandit, what are we told about him? When he would recite Chaitanya Bhagwat, he was like the moon and all the devotees in the audience were like stars. And it said, and as he spoke Chaitanya Bhagwat, it looked like rivers, streams of nectar were pouring out of the moon and nourishing all of the stars. That's his class. That person, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami approached and saying, this inspiration has come at the request of the devotees to express the Shesh Leela of Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur's concentration on the Adi Leela, the pastimes up to 24 and taking sannyas. He's saying, devotees have requested because they've heard from me what came from Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, the Shesh Leela, divided into two sections, Madhya and Antya. Madhya, the first 6 years, Antya, the last 18, specific emphasis on the last 12. But then, and they're all giving their approval. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur as well, but saying, conditionally, don't mention my name. I mean, you know, Astasaki Tunga Vidya, like I'm not worthy. And other great devotees, they're all giving their permission, approval, their order. Still, Kaviraj Goswami was saying, it is not me who's writing. I am astonished. I'm arthritic, legally blind. I could leave the world at any moment, and my hands moving and writing these wonderful and amazing things. Because Madan Mohan is moving my hand. Really, Madan Mohan is expressing these things through me. Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Satyan. Krishna tells Arjuna, you can be an instrument to the fulfillment of my divine will. When Sanatana Goswami meets with Mahaprabhu and requests Mahaprabhu to recall, what's the word? When you say something again. Yeah, there's another word. But anyway, to repeat, recall, you know, recapitulate, whatever. To tell again what he spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They discussed the Atmarama Sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu saying, Sarvabhauma is one madman, and I'm another madman. So two madmen were having a discussion, and you want me to repeat that? Saying, it was madness, you know, but I could say something fresh. And we should point out, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he gave 9 levels of interpretation. Because recall, after, as we just heard, Mahaprabhu is taking sannyas, he goes to Puri. And when he's maybe 6 miles from the temple, his eagerness is so great, he can't contain himself. And it's around that time also that Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda, because Jagadananda used to hold the danda and kamandalu, water pot. But when it was time to go back, he said to Nityananda, can you hold these? I need to go. So he held, when he comes back, they're broken into 3 pieces, ekadanda made into 3, thrown in the river. Jagadananda, like, what happened? Mahaprabhu comes and Nityananda said, oh, we were dancing, and in our ecstasy, we were lost to this world, and we both fell, and it broke. And Mahaprabhu does not believe that to necessarily be the truth. He's saying, but there are very mystical reasons why. Some will say, well, to show 3, Tridanda, Mahaprabhu's beyond Paramahansa, Danda's carried in lower state, many different things, but be that as it may, Mahaprabhu, it gives him an excuse to say, I want to go alone. And he said, so you can all go before me or after me. And the devotees, I think, Damodar, they say, you go first and we'll follow. But when Mahaprabhu sees the dome of Jagannath and the chakra, his eagerness cannot be contained, and he's running to Jagannath. He has to sit down and be quiet. So, and when he comes before Jagannath, Jagannath is generally taken to be Dwaraka Krishna, right? This, on account of feeling, of being overwhelmed by separation from Vrindavan, Radharani, Braja Gopis, everything, his undergone this ecstatic transformation where his limbs have entered the body, his eyes have become large. It's an ecstatic condition. But when Mahaprabhu sees Jagannath, he's seeing Brajendra Nandan, Shyama Sundar Krishna. And he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani after long separation. So he's so overwhelmed by the Mahabhav. Remember, Krishna Prem, Rupa Goswami sequence. You know, Ado Shraddha Tadasaru Sangha Bhajanakriya Narta Nivritti Nishta Ruchi Ashakti Bhav Prem. Then of Prem, You know, Snehom, Man, Pranay, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav. Mahaprabhu is in the high, deepest state of Mahabhav, heart expression of Krishna Prema, of Srimati Radharani. And seeing, you know, Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Vadan, Kahan Karun, Kahan Pan, Vrajendra Nandan, Shama Sundar Krishna, and just faints, deep fainting, means to this world, not fainted the way someone is like comatose and they have no recollection of here, but he's so deeply penetrated there as to lose all consciousness here. That's what this fainting means. And the 10th stage of separation is death. So he's in a death-like stage. As Guru Maharaj gave in the Gadadhar Pranam, Nilam Bodhi Tate Sadas Svaviraha Kepanvitam Bandavam. Svaviraha. Feeling separation from himself. Now Krishna is seeing what it is like to feel separation from Krishna as a devotee. And his conclusion is that it's superior to what Krishna experiences. Only he can say that with absolute certainty. He believes that it's superior. And we're so poor-hearted. We think Krishna consciousness is something less. Why Krishna gets to enjoy everything? What about us? Don't we get a little something? We're so miserly in our consideration of things and even in our aspirations. Krishna's self coming to show how exalted is he's the supreme enjoyer. Right? Gurudev was saying very nicely, very simply, very simply. What's the difference? Why is Krishna superior? And Vaikuntha world, ek Lakshmi, ek Narayan. One Lakshmi for one Narayan. And that's wonderful. Unlimited Vaikuntha world, but one Lakshmi with one Narayan. Lakshmi Narayan. But what do we hear from Brahma Sangita? Lakshmi sahasrasatasam Brahma sevyamanam Govinda maripurusham tamaham. That Govinda, who in the beginning, we know the Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satyarananda Vigraha, Anadiradir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. And it's interesting, Mahaprabhu points out in that Atmarama Sloka, saying that before there's a world and creation, I mean, he's preaching the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about Vedanta. Before there's creation, it said, sa aikshita, sa asrijita. Sa aikshita means he looked over the material energy, and that's how the Big Bang began. I mean, if we want to talk in shortcut, Big Bang with the glance of all this creation comes. So he's saying, if it's before the creation of innumerable, you know, eyes, ears, nose, etc., what was he looking with? So when it says apani apado javana grihita, he has no legs and all. See, it means that not like the fleshy kind, but he glanced over the material creation with what? There's nothing mundane has been created yet. It's a nice footnote to the conversation. So why did I say, that Krishna, he's the Adi Govinda, and he's Govinda, that name means that too, who's pleasing to all the senses. What are the senses? Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling. Govinda, prati anga lage khande prati anga more. He's the one who can reciprocate. He's the beauty that we're looking for. So by inversion, what does Rupa Goswami say? Don't. If you want to remain attached in this world, to your family, friends, person, places, things, you know, time, place, and certain, if you want to, don't go on the banks of the Jamuna and the moonlight night and see Govinda. Don't do that. I strongly advise against it. You'll regret it. Because you won't be able to look at the persons, places, things of this world again with the same sort of seriousness or longing that you once did. It's like pretending you're asleep when you're awake. Sometimes you realize, you know what? I should just get up. Utishta jagrata prapya bharan nibodhita. That's what the Vedas say. You know, when you're a human being, just get up. Don't pretend to be asleep. And so Rupa goes on and says, do not see this vision. It will permanently damage you, right? And your mundane aspirations. Radharani in the Brahmar Gita, favorite to Mahaprabhu, and the last one. Yadanu charita lila karna piyusha biprut sakrita dvanda viduta dvanda dharma vinashta sapadi griha kutumbam dinamutrija bahuva vihanga bhikkhu charjam charanti. She's saying, if a drop of the nectar of hearing about Krishna through your ear, that sound channel, touches your heart, you're finished. She's saying it as if it's a complaint. That's why we're in the difficulty. Like Guru Maharaj said once, Radharani called all the Braja Gopis together and said, I now understand what our problem is. And everyone's, what? He said, the flute, that is the source of all of our difficulty. So we need to get the flute, take the flute away from Krishna, if we're going to have any peace. So, Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma. Unlike Vaikuntha, one Lakshmi, one Narayan, millions, trillions of Lakshmis for one Krishna. We can't, Ananda Chinmaya Sadhu, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis, Tabirya eva nijarupataya kalavi, goloka eva nivisata kilamabhuto, govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. Inconceivably beautiful, all of these gopis, but somehow Krishna, aparam kashyapi prani janamrindasya kutuki, seeing Radharani's has awakened the curiosity within him, what it's like, how does she see him? What is her vision? There's gopi vision and then her vision of things and him specifically. And what sort of sentiments is her heart capable of producing in separation from her beloved? This has caused Krishna to descend as Mahaprabhu and relish all those things. So Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma, that I can say something new. So Sarvabhauma gave 9 interpretations. Mahaprabhu, not touching on the 9, gave 18. That's 27. But here was Sanatan Mahaprabhu said, I don't remember that. I don't remember what we said, but I can say something new. Then he gives 60 explanations. Then 61, and Sanatana Goswami saying, this is not human. It's beyond human capacity, divine. And Mahaprabhu was saying, Sanatana, why are you glorifying me? Don't you know every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam is infinite? Why only 61 explanations? Can be even more. And The verse comes, Ahang Vedmi Sukhaveti Vyasaveti Naveti Va. He said, Shiva says, I know the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadev knows the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vyas, the author, he may know or he may not know. There's some things he knows, some things he doesn't know. And it's passing through him. So, sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, that's Sukadev, whom this passed through. And again, we're told why he's the loudspeaker, why was that incident mentioned? He's going to say, what was attractive to me? In the Uttama Shlokas, I heard the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Brajagopis, which are divine Eros pastimes, saying, and I was carried, irresistibly charmed and carried away to a world I didn't know existed previously. So it's showing, if those women said, there was not even a trace amount of male gaze of exploiting tendency within him. It's that person who said, when I heard these things, I was charmed. He has no charm for the mundane male-female relationship or such literature or any such things. But this charmed him. So it's a way of indicating that it's purely spiritual. There's not a trace amount of exploiting tendency in these pastimes. So after telling these things, still, and even in a somewhat encrypted way, by not mentioning Radharani's name, Anaya Radito Nunam, right, by inference, not mentioning the other principal gopis, still, he can see in the group assembled there, there's some apprehension on their part. The thing. And Parikshit Maharaj, seeing that, and really he and Sukadev, by divine arrangement, are working in tandem under the influence of Yoga Maya. Question and answer. Parikshit Maharaj, seeing their that all their minds are blown by hearing these things. In the beginning, you told us, and there's the Jugupsitam sloka of Narada Vyas saying, what is this terrible thing you've unleashed in the world that you should be condemned for? Religion. He's criticizing Vedavyas for like giving religion, and I have to qualify this statement in this way, saying the way, it's not your intention, and this happened inadvertently, but the outcome of people being so-called religious is they will remain bound to material existence because they're following some rule or regulation or making an offering or... And that will give them the perfect excuse to just continue with mundane life, and they'll stay here forever. And the knot that has lust, has a stranglehold, desire, stranglehold on the heart, won't be severed. In your name, they'll do some religious performance activity and go on with life like that. Saying, so you have to make, and inadvertently, you did not express to them the possibility of loving relationship in the spiritual world, right? That in that world, friendship, servitorship, friendship, parental, and including conjugal love that's its origin. This world is but a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. You have to make it clear to the people that they have some prospect there. Mukti arhit vanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. That in their swarup, that they have possibility of loving relationship with Krishna. So he's condemning him forgiving religion. That's why in the Bible it says dharma projita kaita botra, described by Prabhupada as cheating religion. Right. So now, so that's what he's saying is the wrong thing. Now you've got to set things right. So what does he do? Say that the Supreme Being, he's a cheater. And his cheating pastimes and his apparently engaging in immoral activities, this is the supreme religion. There's nothing higher than this. He's saying, regular religion, that's a bad thing. Krishna's cheating and immoral activities, all these things, good. Krishna, good. The other side, bad. So Parikshit Maharaj is seeing that, as Guru Maharaj has put it this way, he said, it was one thing for them to have to get their heads around the idea that the supreme entity is a man or like a man, has human-like pastimes. Like, that was shocking enough, right, for a Brahmavadi to go to that. But he said that he's not only a man, but an immoral man. That's like too much. Like, it was enough to ask us to accept him as human, but now immoral. But it, pardon me? But like Guru Maharaj told his devotee, Krishna's autocrat, despot, and liar. He's an autocrat. Yeah, because Ram Leela, there's some Rajniti. See, he's restricted from being the absolute personality of Godhead by moral constraint. Ek Patni, one wife. Also, when the citizen criticizes him for accepting Sita, his wife was in the house of another man for a year, and that comes to Ramachandra's ear, what does he do? He banishes Sita. And she's pregnant with twins. I remember when I first read that, I was so disturbed. I had to like close the book and walk around the block in Moscow in the snow for an hour. I was thinking, I don't understand this Ramayana. Later, Guru Maharaj helped me understand it. I think he's sacrificing his own happiness for the happiness of others. But I told this one of my old devotee's friends, and he turned to me and with like a tear in his eye, and he said, but not Sita. You know, Sita's happiness. And at the time, I just kind of went, But again, riding on a train with Muralishwar in the middle of Ukraine somewhere, it came to me and I thought, that's why she's so exalted. Because she's also, as Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya, they're giving up, she's giving up her happiness, Sachi Mata, for the benefit of others. She's making this sacrifice. She's showing this sacrificing tendency. And Guru Maharaj said, that is what he found charming. Why in the beginning he found Ramlila more charming? Because of the level of sacrifice. But when Radharani's level of sacrifice, he said, when Radharani entered the door through Brahma Vaivarta Purana, all the other famous chaste ladies of Vedas and Puranas became pale in comparison. He's quoting someone saying that, but he liked it very much. That's so, he said, Radharani and Mahaprabhu, that's what he found, the self-sacrifice to the extreme. That's what her name indicates that. And then Guru Maharaj said very sweetly, he said, at like 92, he said, but recently, and I have developed some attraction for Krishna. He said, because I know if you want to be in her group, you have to have appreciation for Krishna. So, but why did I say that? Oh, about jugupsitam, dharmakriti, so religion, the lower type, cheating religion, rejected. What's the highest religion? Celebrating, praising, worshiping the supreme autocrat, despot, and liar. Krishna already shows his tendency as a child, what he's like. Right? When the gopis in the neighborhood, they're complaining to Maya Shoda. And by the way, in song, because in this play, everything is song. All speech is song, all movement is dance. And so they're saying, and expressing their complaint in song about Gopal entering their house stealthily and stealing yogurt, butter, curd. And at one point, Yashoda suggests to them, why not leave some out? Just take some, put it out on the table. When he comes in, it'll be there and he won't have to break any pots. Or, and they say, no, you don't understand. It's not just the yogurt he wants, but your Gopal, he likes stealing. Because he's saying, yeah, we have so much yogurt at our house. Why does he have to go to other houses? Because he likes stealing. He likes stealing things from other people. And if you think about it, for the absolute, the supreme owner, controller, enjoyer of everything, that would be fun. If you already own everything, it's not so much fun. But if there are people, they think something is theirs, and you steal it from them, that's fun. And especially if they like it. They like those gopis. Gurudev liked that sloka. Krishna enters and he's clutching his nupur, his ankle bells, with his hand so that they don't make any sound. So he's tiptoeing into the gopis, holding his ankle. And then there's some ghee lamp burning and he goes, blows the lamp out. And she's lying in the bed pretending to be asleep. This type of pretending to be asleep is good. And she, what does she hear in the room? She hears like, she's saying that it's the supreme, absolute, well, she's just saying it as Krishna, but they know in the background who he is. The supreme, absolute, Swayam Bhagavan, personality of Godhead has entered your house. He's stealing your yogurt. That's too much. And so she's there trying not to smile, laugh, or express too much ecstatic emotion. So Guru Maharaj said, as an autocrat, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that because he's the absolute, if we try to check him with our mundane morality, we become the losers. You understand? Everything he does is good. We want to make him play by the same rules that we play by. He should be moral the way people in this world should be moral. That's going to constrain his pastimes. As Lakshman felt constrained in the Ram Leela due to being the younger brother, he likes being Balaram, the older brother, better, because then he can protect Krishna. He can override Krishna in certain instances. Lakshman, younger brother, when Ramachandra says, all right, we're being exiled, let's go to the forest. In his heart, he wants to fight that, but he can't because he's the younger brother, has to follow the older brother. If he was Balaram, just pull out the club, it'd be another type of pastime. So autocrat, despot, if there's any check on his despotism, we're losers. And liar, he's adopted the position of a liar because we're not ready for the full truth. So to bring us in connection with the truth. So, anyway. So, Sukadeva, Purikhita Maharaj, representing these concerns of those sages to Sukadeva, saying, well, in the beginning you said religion, why it was objectionable. Now you're telling us the replacement, the highest thing, are these apparently immoral behavior of Krishna. And there he gives these response, one being the Ishwaranam, what is it? Vachanam Satyam, that the supreme, those who are generally Ishwara, you follow their advice and not their activities. And the, what is it? Rudra, Vishabdi, the ocean of poison, saying, like Shiva, we know, and this is very interesting. Remember that Mohini Murti pastime and the churning of the Kheer Sagar, the ocean of milk. Guru was saying, what is their object is to discover, achieve, acquire nectar, devas and asuras. But it's asuric to think of nectar in terms of just living forever in the world. That's not a divine quality to want to just think this world is all in all. Actually, that's Shudra. Why? Shudra means one who laments, who wails. And Gurmur said, one who accepts this world is all in all, he will ultimately wail and lament. So that the purpose of churning the ocean of milk was to get amrita, the ultimate nectarine substance, which Gurmur says is madhura rasa. So now look, here again, Rudra appearing and reference to this, because when they're churning, two things are generated. The nectar from which Lakshmi Devi, Airavata, the moon are generated, Krishna descends in the Chandravamsa, and the, what do you call it? The cast off, the throwaway, which is poison. And those gods and Deva, Asura, they cannot digest us. So Mahadev Shiva, he appears, Rudra, and he drinks the ocean of poison. He can digest that. And what is the outcome? We're talking, his neck turns blue. So he becomes known as Nilkanta. Means like blue throat, blue neck, Nilkant. So Sukadeva Goswami telling Purikhita Maharaj, really the message to the others, he's saying, these sort of things, not even in your mind, manasyapi hyanishwa, should you contemplate such things, unless you can digest an ocean of poison like Rudra, Mahadeva, Shiva. And then comes the Vikriditam Brajabaduritam Javishnu, saying these pastimes of Krishna with the Braja Gopis. Here he's used the word Vishnu, which is peculiar. These are not pastimes of Vishnu. If we were to take Vishnu to mean four-arm Narayan, but if we understand that here in this context, Vishnu means God, divinity, then it's saying these are the pastimes of divinity. That's why Raghupati Upadhyay told Mahaprabhu, after Mahaprabhu heard him, what did he say first? The first sloka, he has three. Bharatam manye, srutim apare, smritim atare, bharatam manye, bhavam bhita, ahangiha nandam bande, yashalande, param brahma. As Mahaprabhu was saying, you know, there are so many books there that we take, Vedas, Upanishads, Purana, Shruti, Smriti, so many things. What is your opinion about all of that taken into consideration? What's the best thing you could extract from there? And he's saying, well, The Shruti, it means Vedas, Upanishads, etc., Smriti, they all are advising so many different things. How to, you know, bhavam, bita, the fear we have, the inevitable fear here of dealing with mortality, we're going to have to die. That's it in a nutshell about the world, right? Whatever, you know, the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth ever gave, a way to light the inevitable hour, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. So people, you know, they're studying these books like mad to find out, is there some way to get out of this, to deal with that impending mortality? So they're thinking that all the books, if you find out what the consensus is, go to the Param Brahma. You know, the Supreme Spirit, the Supreme Lord, God, however you want to. Param Brahma, that's the way. You think, but aham iha nandam bande yashalande Param Brahma. That Param Brahma that they're all saying you should approach him, he's crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. What did he do? I mean, they're all trying to go in his direction. He has him crawling in his courtyard. So what he's showing us in one sloka is going from Vedas, Shruti, Smriti, all of these books, to Raga Marg, to Raga Bhakti in one step. That's the answer. Heart. That's what did he do? That's what he has. Nanda Yashoda. Heart. So Mahaprabhu liked this very much. And that's why he said, is there anything more that you can say? And just like those, Gurudev liked this verse so much. Kam prati katai tamise sam prati patitam ayatu. Tanaya kunje gopa viduti vitam brahma. He's saying, who can I tell and who would believe me? Just like those sages. Will they believe it? Who can I tell? Sukadeva's there. There different reasons are given why he does not mention the name of Radharani or those principal Brajagopis. Some, one understanding is that it's confidential and not to be expressed openly. The other, Sanatana Goswami, he says in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika, that if he will vibrate her name, it will ignite an inextinguishable, uncontrollable fire of separation in the heart of Sukadeva Goswami that will consume him, and he won't be able to continue. So, is there anyone qualified to hear it? And if I told them, would they believe me? This is what his answer is. It's what's presented in the Bhagavatam. And he's saying, that Param Brahma, who we heard crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, another place, what does it say? Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman, Sreya Eva Mahodayam, Yashodava Mahabhaga, Papo Yasya Stanam Hari. As fortunate as he is, Ma Yashoda, even more fortunate, crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, but he's crawling on the divine form of Nandarani, Yashoda. Crawling on her, sitting on her lap, sucking her breast milk. She's even more fortunate. But then he said that's his Kumar pastimes. Then Poganda, his pastimes with the cowherd boys. But will anyone believe this? As Kishore, his pastimes with the Brajagopis, he's hunting the Brajagopi girls in the Kunja of Vrindavan. Is there anyone who I could tell this to? And if there was someone, would they believe it? It's unbelievable, it's inconceivable, yet true. So all of these things, this is what is expressed in these slokas. It's encapsulated, live stream reality. But, what does it say? Shradhanvato anushanaya dattabharnaya jag. Only by faithful service, adherence to the Guru Parampara, is it accessible. So we've seen sometimes, like if Srila Gurudev, he will say a sloka, then we can learn it, and not before. It's like he's sanctioning, and he spoke of Guru Maharaj as throwing potency. He can transfer that. And in this way also, they cannot be modified or adulterated. Sometimes people try, but the experts can tell. Rupa Goswami has Padyavali. Raghunath Das Goswami Stavavali. What does it mean? These are their sloka collections. It means they like to go over these from time to time, hear them, vibrate them, consider them, contemplate them, express them. But our focus should be on the ones that have been emphasized by our Guru Varga. Hare Krishna.